Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shah Dalet, in Perek Chof Dalet, chapter 24. In the middle of the chapter, we were speaking about the worst punishment that a person could get. The language of the Torah is Ikoris Tikoris, which is double language of Koris, double language of being cut off from the heavens. It's specific about someone who has the opportunity to learn and doesn't learn, or someone who was learning and he walked away from his learning. We pick up with the paragraph that starts with words Chachain Medin. So therefore, he gets the worst type of punishment and says the Nefesh HaChaim Chachain Medin, and so it's logical. So that's correct that he should lose. He should be punished to such a great degree. His actions, which are negative actions, which are bad actions, they're going to distance him. We are the products of our actions. So we do good things and good things happen to us. We do bad things and bad things happen to us. And his actions of distancing himself from Hashem will distance him from Hashem. Distance himself from the Torah will distance him from Hashem. And his sin is withholding goodness from himself. He's basically blocking himself. Hashem, so to speak, wants to give him good things, wonderful things, and he himself is blocking off the good things. His sin becomes the blockage, which doesn't allow the good things to reach him. Since he had the opportunity to engage in Torah, he actually had the opportunities, he had the talents, he had the abilities to engage in Torah. And willfully, on purpose, with a willful heart, with a negative desire, right? It's his own willfulness, his own stubbornness, with a negative heart, with sharp nefesh and a certain type of arrogance, disregard. He just disregards the Torah. Bochav alokach mekach rol atzmo. He went and bought a bad purchase for himself. He went and bought into a very bad deal for himself. In rejecting the Torah, because the best deal you can do in the world is Torah. There's no better deal in the world with better rewards and better benefits. You get benefits in this world, benefits in the next world. There's no better deal. Ki lekach tov nasat lechem, right? That's what the pasuk says. Lekach tov nasat lechem, and this is the best deal of all. Is engaging in Torah. This person, by rejecting Torah, which was available to him, He knew how to learn. He had the ability to learn. He had the wherewithal to learn, and he went and rejected it. He's taken an evil deal for himself, and this is going to affect others as well. It's going to affect his family, it's going to affect friends. When they see him going down, they see him leaving, so he gets other people to leave as well. It's called a mechoita and machti. He himself sins, but he causes other people to sin because they follow him. So that guy's leaving, so I'm also leaving. Right? If he's leaving, then I'm leaving. So therefore, he acquires a bad deal for himself, for others. And all of the worlds, all of the upper worlds are waiting for us to study in order to receive divine blessing. All the divine blessings come through the Torah study. So all the worlds are waiting for our Torah study to generate light in the higher worlds, and all these worlds are being denied the light, the energies, the different blessing and prosperity. So all the worlds also have to suffer. Umas b'chaya ulam shel Torah kedusha. And he has despised, he has been disgusted, he allowed himself to be disgusted with the eternal life of the Holy Torah. Chiyusa unahiru dechol almi, which is the life force and the light force, the force of light, enlightenment, right? Brightness, the revelation of Hashem, which is the ultimate bracha, the life force and the light force of all of the world. He himself has rejected all, he's been disgusted by it all, he's walked away from it all. Asher yoda, had he only wanted, through the Torah he could have clung, he could have attached himself, so to speak, to HaKadosh Baruch himself. He could have attached himself to Hashem, who is the life source of all. And instead, what did he do? Shalach yodei laharis paltin shel melech. And he's gone and sent out his hand. This is shalach yodei is when you use other people's items. Let's say you're looking after someone's goods. You're looking after his goods for him, and then you go and use it for yourself. So that's forbidden. That's an act of theft. That's called shalach yodei. When you use something that's not yours, you don't have permission to use, that's called shalach yodei. So this person who's disregarding the Torah, so to speak, he's shalach yodei. He's sent out a hand. He's got the sweeping hand that he just pushes things away. He's swept out his hand. The haris paltin shel melech, to destroy the palace of the king. behemet v'hichshich, and he is minimized, he's limited, and he's darkened. V'kiva shifas oydam shelo ilomis, and he's extinguished the outpouring of light of the world by disregarding his Torah. V'gam shel nafsheh, and also the light that would have been poured into his own soul, he's pushed all that away. Lama lechayim mitim. So why should he merit true life? True life is the life of the next world. True life is that the true soul. This world is an artificial world. It's a world of tests. It's like a person's put in a test situation. So it's artificial. You have to go through these tests, and you have to do this and do that. So that's our life of this world. It's not a true life. Our true life is once the soul is totally free from the limitations of this world. So that's real living. That's when we are in the upper worlds. So this person, by rejecting Torah, so why should he get true life? The only thing he wants is this world, and he's rejected true life, and that's therefore he loses it. Surely his eyes will be darkened from seeing. We have to be able to see into upper worlds, and we learn that the Torah gives us the glasses with which we see into the upper world. The Torah allows our eyes to see it. It trains our eyes to see higher concepts and higher reasons of living. And he has gone and dimmed his own light. He's turned off the lights from his own eyes. His eyes are dimmed from seeing and gazing at the living light. Urachaim, the living light, the living eternal light. Urachaim anitzchim. And he will not be able to absorb the great power of the upper light. And it says at the end of the days, Hashem will bring out a sun from its sheath, and that will burn the Rishoyim. And the same sun that will burn the Rishoyim will heal the Tzaddikim. So how can it be that the one thing that heals the Tzaddikim, it also burns the Rishoyim? How can it be such a thing? It's just because they're not able to use that light. They're not able to appreciate that light. For them, it just destroys them. It just destroys them because it goes against everything that they spent their whole life living in for. It goes completely contra what their whole life thrust was. Whereas the tzaddikim, who were always living in the light of the Torah, they now have to benefit from that light. Because he's never actually trained himself, he's never actually got himself into, he's rejected Torah, so he's never gone into the world of Torah, he's never acclimatized himself, he's never actually trained himself to be in the light of the Torah, into the light of this type of living, this type of world. And he himself will be driven out, and he'll be cut off, and he himself will be cut off from Eden, which is the garden of Hashem. From bundling himself up with a bundle of life, Hashem, who is the source of all life, Hashem is the life source, that he should be bundled with this life source. He's basically foregone all that. He goes from bad to worse. He goes down and down and down. Woe to that shame, that embarrassment, that he's rejected the true life, he's rejected the true source of life, the true creator. And so our sages have defined, and they've judged, and they've ordered his punishment should be. You know, that's our sages themselves have defined that that's what's going to happen to him. Shenigzera abdo. It's been decreed that his hope has been lost for the generations. Chas v'shalom. Shegam ad netzach lo yireh or, also for eternity he will not see the light. He rejected the light, and for eternity he will not get to see the light. Mal yichi oid lenetzach beis keitzah yomim, that he should not live anymore. He should not live for eternity at the end of days. Asher yesheine ad mas'ofri akitzu, which is the time when those who sleep in the dust will wake up, right? Those, the corpses who are sleeping in the dust, those corpses will come back to life. The souls will come down from the heavens and re-inhabit those corpses, and they will come back to life. They'll shake off the dust of their graves, and they'll be able to live for eternity. The life of Tchias HaMeisim, of the resurrection of the dead, is an eternal life. Kamay mechazal, ki tal oiris talecho. And that's specifically in the schus of Torah, because it's the dew of the light that is your dew. In other words, the dew is the dew that revives us. There's a certain dew that revives us. That's the tonic that revives us, brings us back to life. And that dew is called the dew of light. Not the dew that comes from the ground or from rain or from anything else. The dew of that comes from lights. Anyone who uses the light of Torah, he's been accustomed to using the light of Torah in his lifetime, or Torah mechayeh, it's the light of Torah that brings him back to life. Anyone who does not use the light of the Torah, ein or Torah mechayehu, so the light of the Torah does not bring him back to life. Below matzu sham rezal tekon el ame aretz sheyakum el esotchia, and therefore our sages never found any type of remedy for the people of the world. Ame Aretz means those people who are only interested in this physical world. Ame Aretz. They put all their thoughts and all their striving, all of their hard work, they put into just building up this physical world. So they called Ame Haaretz, people of this world. Their whole interest is this world. They're only thinking about this world the whole time. So our Chazal only found, they were looking for some way to help these people. These people who put their whole thrust into building up this world, they were looking for some way to help them. So they looked for some sort of a tikkunah, some sort of a remedy for these people who invest their energies only into this world, so that they too should rise at the time of resurrection. So the only remedy they could find is bachzikam utunchim al kolponim beitzachaim. The only way they can, only merit they can have is if they will support and they will uphold at least the tree of life. The tree of life is the Torah itself. It's called Eitz Chaim. And Eitz Chaim itself, the tree of life, needs support. Needs those who can uphold it. Tom Chederai, so those who support Torah scholars, the Hanuis, the Talmidei Chachomim, and Yichseim, to benefit Torah scholars from their property. If they can benefit Torah scholars from their property, that's the only remedy. Because they're not into learning at all. They're not investing in learning at all. So this is their remedy. This is the only remedy. Kumush Amur Sham. As it brings in the, it's a midrash. Omele Rebbe Matzati Lem Trufa Minatira. So the student said, Rebbe, I found a remedy for these people from the Torah, and the Torah says as follows. We have it. I think last week's parsha. Atem Adveikim Hashem Elokeichem. You who cling to Hashem, your God, Chaim Kulchem Ayom. You who cling to Hashem, your God, will live forever. So that's the pasuk. The pasuk says, "You who cling to Hashem will live forever." So how do you cling to Hashem? So the yasa, the kiev shel dvuke b'shchina. How can you cling to the divine presence? The divine presence is all encompassing fire. It's a huge fire. How do you cling to a fire? Do you attach yourself to a fire? You jump into a fire. So how does one cling to the divine presence? So the Chazal says as follows, that anyone who will marry his daughter to a Talmid Chochem, he'll marry his daughter, he'll benefit the Talmid Chochem by giving the Talmid Chochem his daughter. He'll do business on behalf of a Talmid Chochem. He'll do business for him. He'll give him panosa, or he'll bestow some sort of financial benefit to Talmid Chochem from his property. And that's the way he clings to the divine presence. The way to cling to the divine presence, which is a totally spiritual concept, is specifically by helping those who learn Torah. The Vatan of Elio, also the teachings of Elio and Novi, the Seder Rabba, says, Hikitsu Rananu Sheikh Ne'afa, rise and rejoice, you who dwell in the dust. So you who dwell in the dust, those who have been buried, they will rise and rejoice. So those are the people who merit Tzchias Amesim. Mikan Omer David HaMelech Al V'Sholem, Yechelkim Elu Sheim Memisim Es Atzman Al Divei Torah. So there's a double play on the word, because they rise from the dust, means they rise for Tchias Amesim, but also they rise from the dust. And in terms of this life, in this world, they're the ones who sleep in the dust. They don't sleep in luxury beds, in luxury homes, or luxury with luxury carpeting, etc. They sleep in the dust. So therefore, that's what David HaMelech said, may my share be, David HaMelech says, may my share be with those who kill themselves over the words of Torah. So those who kill themselves over the words of Torah, he puts all of his energies, all of his efforts into learning Torah. They will arise and they will rejoice, those who dwell in the dust. Anyone who's like a neighbor to the dust, he knows he's a company, he's used to the dust. He knows what it is to sleep in the dust, sleep on a ground floor sometimes. There's nowhere else to sleep. So therefore, kol anas is shochin off of the chayav. He becomes a neighbor to the dust in this world. Afarid in ayin letchias hamesim. His dust will be shaken up with the resurrection of the dead. Because she'ena says shochin offer, someone who's not prepared to lower his standard of living, he's not going to diminish his standard of living. He's not going to dwell in the dust. Right? Ridiculous, he'll say to you. So anyone who is not prepared to make material sacrifices for his Torah study, his dust will not be shaken up for the resurrection of the dead. We have to basically give ourselves to Torah living. We have to devote ourselves to Torah living. That's what we're being told. We have to give ourselves over to Torah learning. This is the most important occupation that we should invest in. As much as we can, to the ability we can, we should be helping, we should be learning, we should be doing our maximum. These people who make their homes on the dust in order to learn Torah. Kodesh Boch Mevi Alem Tal Oirish Shel Torah, he will bring the dew of lights of the Torah. Mevi and Lechayil Oilom Abo, and he'll bring them to the life of the world to come. Shenema Ki Tal Oirish Talecho, for the dew of lights is your dew, Hashem, the Pasuk in Koheles. Rezeis Koruz Chazal Hamikra Meuvas LeYizchi Ochel Yizchoin, and this is why the sages said that this verse we have also a verse in Koheles, that which is crooked that cannot be made straight. So the Chazal asks, what is the crooked thing that can never be made straight? What is that that's been made crooked that can never be made straight? So our sages define that verse is referring to our Talmud Chochem HaPoyish Minatoya, a Torah scholar who left his learning. That's someone who's gone crooked and you just can't make it straight. You can't make it up. You can't make up what he's left until he walked out in Torah. So that's called the thing that was made crooked that can't be rectified. Shechas v'sholem ein lo tekona ulomis. That such a person has no remedy at all. Harachaman Yisbach Shmo Yatzileinu Mizeh Hashem. Yisbach should save us from this. You know, we never know what sort of Yetzer is lurking for us, right? Maybe right around the corner, something that will suddenly pull us by our nose and take us off into the wilds, into the forests, and cause us to lose our souls. So that's what he says. Harachaman Yatzileinu. Hashem should save us, that we shouldn't be amongst those who are tempted to leave the halls of Torah study, right? And right, that's our prayer. I pray that we should not be drawn away from this. Rahman Yisrael Shmo Yitzilenu Mizeh V'chol Kiyotibi. He should save us from this and all types of other types of disaster, that a person loses his spiritual destiny, his spiritual inheritance. Peg Chofei, chapter 25. V'kol Zeh Kishadayin Yesh Anoshim Yisrael. And all of this is specific when we still have people of Israel, who are still clinging to Hashem and to clinging to Hashem's Torah, be'iyun, by learning it with depth, learning it with understanding, with insight, not just reading it, not just parrot style, reading it, be'iyun, with thinking about it. You have to read things, you have to think about what you read about. Be'iyun, ushkida, and with diligence, v'yegia, with effort, gedoyle lishmo. They're putting in a lot of effort and they're doing it for the right reasons. They're doing it in order to do the will of Hashem, to live how Hashem wants us to live, to do what Hashem's desires are in this world. They put their whole thrust, they put their whole desire in terms of the Torah of Hashem, in their whole life, they dedicate their lives to the Torah. And what are they working on? What are they building? What are they aiming towards? What is their target? It's Torah. That's their main goal. As Anoshim should betel him legamim esek teyem mereya bechiras. And then, what happens is that those people who waste their time completely from learning Torah, they don't learn Torah at all. They don't learn Torah at all, just from evil, choosing evilly, choosing negatively. Hebi yedu shel chaim. Right, so they will go down to Gehenna. Megoroshim meistaper benachlas avdei Hashem. They will be driven out from resting in the portion of those who are the servants of Hashem, in the whole heritage that belongs to those who serve Hashem, and there are also those who cling to our Kodesh Baruch and to His Torah. Eretz Chaim, Yikareisu Chas V'Shalom. These people who chose not to learn Torah, they will be cut off from the land of the living Chas V'Shalom. Now, Kol Panim Ha'olam Gam Ala Kol Ha'olamos. At least in this world. Like disengaging from the Torah, they cut it from this world and they cut it from all the worlds. Right, and also because they have minimized, they've reduced, diminished, and they've descended from their own holiness. Right, the holiness of a Jewish soul Jewish soul that's able to engage in Torah, the holiness of the Jewish soul. They've actually forfeited. Such people have forfeited their own holiness, and they forfeited their own life, their own light. These people who sin against themselves, in sinning against themselves, they've forfeited it all. And they've almost turned their feet completely towards destruction. Like a person who's walking near the edge of a cliff, and he starts walking towards the edge of the cliff, right? Instead of turning this way and walking away from the cliff, he's walking towards the cliff. Chas v'sholem. Moshe Kosov, the Tanur of Eliyahu, this is taught by Eliyahu Novi and Eliyahu Rabba. Omru Chachomim calls Vanshe Bnei Odom Uvatli Min HaTorah. Right? Say our sages that the whole time that people are nullifying, they're not engaging in learning Torah. Mevakesh HaKodesh Boruch Hu Lachriv Besoilam. Hashem wants to destroy the world. Because the only reason Hashem created the world was for the learning of Torah. That's what he wanted a world for. So that's why he set up the factory. The factory is this world. He set up this world as a factory, and the factory is supposed to produce certain goods, and the goods that we're supposed to produce are Torah learning. That's what this world was created for Torah learning. But if people aren't going to be learning Torah, then Hashem says, well, let's close it down. Let's close down this world. Let's destroy this world. So therefore, if you've got those who are learning are upholding the world, while those who are not learning are just destroying themselves. But if there were only people who weren't learning, then the whole world would be shut down. The whole world would be lost. Bisham B'Seyd Eliyahu Zutra, also in the teachings of Eliyahu Novi, says there, Ki Lashem Emetzuke Aretz, for to Hashem are the pillars of the earth. The pillars of the earth, the Yoshes Aleim Tevel, and he spreads on it the whole of the world. The whole world sits on pillars. The whole world is supported by pillars. And that's what upholds the world. That's called the Tevel. Tevel is the settled world. And it stands on these pillars. Metzuki Ha'aretz, the pillars of the earth. Who are the pillars of the world? Those are the Torah scholars. The Torah scholars are the pillars of the world. They ones are the ones who uphold the world. The fact that there is a world is only because of those individuals who are dedicating their life to learning Torah. Every day there are destructive angels that are leaving the palaces of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chabad is called Ha'im Kula. They see all the sinning, they see all the neglect of Torah. They come out, these destructive angels come out to destroy the world. And were it not for the shuls and for the yeshivas, that there are Torah scholars sitting in those shuls and in those yeshivas, sitting and engaging in the words of Torah, these destructive angels, they're just waiting for the opportunity to finish their work of destroying this world. And it's the Torah scholars who basically push them away, because they're engaged in Torah, so they send them packing. Otherwise, these angels are in wait. They're in wait to break down our world, to destroy our entire world. We know that there are negative, destructive forces in the world. Forces of hatred, forces of war, forces of violence. So there are spiritual forces like that. There are spiritual forces that are ready to destroy the world, and it's only the Torah scholars that are keeping them away from the world. Even so, the world is able to continue to exist on by way of the remnant. Those holy ones who engage in Torah day and night, they're the ones who prevent the world from returning to nothingness and emptiness and void. However, here comes the famous teaching of the Reb Chaim of Lodzin, that he says that if Chas v'Sholem, the entire world was completely free, was completely empty, even for one moment, if one moment there was no learning at all, one moment literally from the engagement and in thinking of the ideas of the Torah, the treasures of the Torah, of the Holy Torah, take of Karega Hayukola Ilomis Nichrovim. Immediately all of the world would have been destroyed. Right? If we don't have someone in the world learning at every minute of the day, every moment of the day, there should be someone learning. So therefore immediately in a moment all of the world would be destroyed, and they'd be totally nullified from reality. Right? And that's Reb Chaim V'Lodzin. In his own yeshiva, he set up a watch. He set up a watch that right through the day, in 24 hours a day, there'd be someone learning. And they'd had shifts, learning shifts. He had people who used to learn right through the day. They had different shifts of yeshiva students who used to learn through the night. I think he's also famous for saying that's one of the reasons Hashem allowed America to be discovered, so that they would build the yeshivas in America. So that's on a different time. So that when all the Yidden in the East are all sleeping, so at least the Yidden in the West are upholding the world, because there's a different time schedule. So they're daytime. There's still people learning. So that's this important. That the world is totally dependent on Torah study. The Afgam Ish Echod Yisrael Avadi says even if there'll be just a single Yid, a single Jew, who will be studying, learning Rav Koichod, how amazing is power? What the power of what he's doing? Imagine a person sitting and learning when no one else is learning. And that's what they speak about, how precious it is, let's say, to learn on a Friday afternoon. Everyone's running around and doing 101 things. If you can sit and learn on it on a Friday afternoon, amazing thing, right? Sometimes on Moiti Shabbos also. There are times that are sort of slow times, right, where there's not so much business. Right? So those are the times to chaper on, because Rav Koyach, he gets much, much credit. The person who's learning, upholding the world at a time when others are not learning. He's the one who's upholding all of the world. Imagine the reward he's going to get for that. He's upholding and he is sustaining all of the worlds, the entire creation. The entire creation is dependent specifically on the Jewish people learning Torah. And through his engagement and thinking into the Torah. And he mentions that the second time here, and also we saw that a few times already. As it's engaging in Torah and thinking about the Torah, thinking about what you're reading, not thinking about the ideas. So engaging and thinking about the Torah, the Holy Torah, Lishma, and for the right reasons, to do the will of Hashem, to please Hashem. So then he is mamish holding up the world. Moshe Kosu b'chelek, like the Moshe says in chelek, v'la oisik b'tei lishma. It says over there, someone who's engaged in Torah lishma. He is protecting the entire world. He is now shielding the whole world, because as we said, there are these harmful negative forces that are ready to bombard the world any time, to destroy the world, and he is the shield. The Torah scholar is the shield who shields the world from these negative destructive forces. Chen Isa b'perek ha'Torah also says in perek ha'Torah in perek ha'avos kol ha'oisik b'Torah lishmo. It says someone who's engaged in Torah with the right reasons. It says about him, the entire world is worthy because of him. He is worthy, you know, because of him there's a world. The whole world merits because of him. And how can we not be excited by this idea? How can we not be agitated by this idea? It's an amazing idea. How can we not be inspired by this idea? By Lois Saliba, if a person will think, and his brain, and he'll meditate on the idea. This awesome idea, this frightening idea. That the mamish, the guy who's sitting and learning, he's upholding the entire world, says Nef Shachaim. But tipol elav emosav afachad. If you just think about this idea, that the entire world is dependent on those sitting and learning, so you start trembling with fear. Trembling with fear and with fright. Lebal yisrapi chas v'sholim eisek toy, that he shouldn't chas v'sholim be slack in engaging toy. Engaging in the Holy Torah constantly. A person will think in his heart, he has to think, maybe this moment right now, you know, I've got a bit of free time, maybe this is the moment when no one else is Isaac in Torah, maybe this is the moment, this is my moment to save the world. This particular moment, sometimes a person wakes up suddenly, you wake up suddenly in the middle of the night and you can't fall asleep. And you look at your clock, it's 2:45 in the morning. You know, who's going to get up at 2:45? But you can't sleep. So maybe in Shemaim they woke you up that you're going to get up. You'll sit and learn for 10, 15 minutes. Maybe you're going to be the person who's going to keep the world going. And if it were not for his engagement, and his thinking in his heart at this time in Torah, all the world would be destroyed, because this is the reality. This is the reality that the whole world is dependent on someone learning Torah. You know, we can't say someone else will do it. Someone else will do it. Everyone says someone else will do it, and then no one does it. The Gemara says that when you've got a pot that belongs to partners, so it's never heated up because everyone says someone else will do it, and then everyone eats cold food. Because everyone says, there's so many partners, there's so many partners in this pot. The other guy will set the pot on fire. You know, he'll put the pot on the fire. So everyone's waiting for someone else to do it, and then no one does it. So therefore, we should never think that. It could be that mamish. It could be this is the specific moment when a person has a chance to be upholding the world, and the whole world would be destroyed. And this is the Torah. This actually is the opportunity we have, because this is the Torah, and this is the huge reward. Imagine someone who saves the entire world, the entire creation. He's saving the entire creation. The Gemara says, if you save a single life, it's like you saved the whole world. But if you literally save a whole world, so how much merit would you have? If you're saving the world, you're saving the whole of creation, not only the whole world. You're saving the whole entire creation. This is the great reward of the Torah. Merubah Moed, very, very great. Ein La'arich, which is beyond all value. We can't value the value of the Torah. She'anoitl Sar Kulam, he gets the reward of the entire world. It says, for instance, that it says in Beka Avos, there were 10 generations from Adam to Noah, and they messed up. Hashem destroyed the world. Right, that was the flood, and he only kept one survivor, was Noah. And then the big Avos went goes on to that, and then there were 10 generations from Noah to Avram. So you expect that, and also they were messing up. From Noah to Avram, 10 generations, also everyone was messing up. It was a bit different. Hashem didn't bring another flood in the days of Avram. And it's rather, the Mishnah says there that Avram got the reward of all the 10 generations. Until Avram came along, and he got all that reward of all the people who lived in 10 generations. How many people? All the people who inhabited the world for 10 generations. All the reward of all those people came to Avram Avinu. So Noach, in a sense, saved the world at one level. But Avram saved the world at an entire different level. That he got all the reward of all the people. He basically made the world worthwhile continuing. So that's the same thing here. The person who's sitting and learning when there's no one else who's learning, that he's mamish sustaining the world. Since he's the one who is upholding, and he is the one who is perpetuating with his strength all of the worlds now. So imagine how much strength there is in this person. And it's about this that our sages have said, Mishnah, so the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Shekol Echad Mishrael. It says as far as a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, it says every person in Israel, every single Jew in the world, Chayav Loima, is obligated to say, a person is obligated to say, Bishvili Nivra Olam, for me the world was created. The world depends on me. Each person is obligated, it's an obligation to say it. I don't know how often you're obligated to say it. Right? Have you said it today? Did you say it this morning? For me this world was created. The world was created for me, it's up to me. I don't know if you have to say it once a day, maybe you have to say it a few times a day, maybe once a week is enough. But that's what that says in the Mishnah. A person's obligated to say that the world was created for me. And even though in terms of other types of sins that people commit, there are thousands and myriads, tens of thousands, millions of worlds, holy world, holy upper worlds, holy heavens. She'ein shum chet v'avon ha'tachtoinim megia deihim. There's some heavens that are very, very lofty. They're so lofty that no matter what a person will sin in this world, their sin cannot reach those worlds. Right? A person's sin does lowly things in this world. He does disgusting things in this world. He sins in this world. There are certain heavens that are so lofty, the sins can't reach. The sins of this person can't filthy, you know, they can't filthy the upper heavens. Like someone wants to throw mud at the king's palace. The king's palace has got such high walls and it's so far and so such big grounds that you can't possibly think that you're going to filthy the king's palace by throwing some mud at the king's palace. The same, similarly, there's some heavens that are so high that sins cannot filthy those heavens, right? They can't damage those heavens at all. She'en shum chet v'avon etachtoinim v'giyah l'deim klal l'togavon chas v'shalom, to blemish them in any way. But tomid oiz v'chet v'mkoyim kvoidom. Right, it's a possibly say, is the chedva bin koyman, there is strength and joy in his place. In upper heavens where Hashem is revealed to a much, much greater degree, so people live, the angels, the beings that are in those upper worlds live with the revelation of Hashem. So it's full of the power and the joy of Hashem. The revelation of Hashem is the source of joy. Hashem is the source of all joy, the source of all life, source of all happiness and joy. So you have these upper heavens that are not contaminated all by sin, and those are places that are full of the joy and the power of Hashem. About those worlds, it says that no evil may dwell there, no evil may penetrate the world. Omnom, however, we have to know, Avon Bittel Torah, however, the sin of not learning Torah, hi ha'oil al kulam, it's the sin that overcomes, that trumps all other sins. The sin that trumps all other sins is Bittel Torah, hu nogeh lekiyum kol ha'ilomis, and that's going to, that affects the existence of all of the worlds, because since all of the worlds are dependent on the Torah, So even though there's certain hems that are beyond all sin, but the whole world depends on learning Torah, so therefore all the worlds are affected by it. If there's no learning Torah, then all of the worlds can be destroyed. The entire creation, as we mentioned before, could be destroyed by not learning Torah.